Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Lee. Christmas is a wonderful time of year. You know, everyone kind of ups their niceness game, if you will. You know, you bump into someone on the street in the Christmas season and you pick them up, you dust them off, whereas any other time of the year, what are you doing getting in my way? We up our niceness game this time of year. Christmas is a wonderful time. It's hope-filled. It's about love. And I think all these little acts of extra niceness that we do are really just echoes of the ultimate act of love that happened 2,000 plus years ago. You see, the message of Christmas is awesome. And the message of Christmas is summarized in many places, but one of my favorites is in a letter that was written from a guy who used to hate Christians and everything they stood for. But he later became a Christian because he met Jesus Christ. The letter that I'm referring to is the book of 1 Timothy in the scriptures. And you can open your Bibles if you'd like there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll just read to you the passage. This is a letter that the apostle Paul, who at one point in his life hated Christians, persecuted Christians, but then he met Jesus Christ, everything turned around, and he changed all his priorities. And he decided that he wanted to get the message of Jesus Christ out everywhere he went. Timothy was a younger Christian that Paul was mentoring. And he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And as we pitch our hearts this evening to remember what Christmas is all about, let's look deeper into this message. God, our Savior. See, this tells us all about God's heart, God's standard, and God's work. And it's all wrapped up in the Christmas message. God's heart says that God wants all people saved. All people. Any way you slice it, all people means all people. God loves the world. There's no Greek jiu-jitsu or anything like this if in the original languages. All people means all people. God loves everyone. That is a hope-filled, love-drenched message. God desires everyone to be saved. Look at this. He even calls himself in verse 3, God our Savior. That's what he wants to be known as. Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate, the name literally means God saves. So this tells us about the heart of God. Well, what does it mean when it says God saves? Saves what? Does he save money? Does he save things? God saves. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of all men. The offer of his salvation is given freely to all who will come. But what does it mean to be saved? Several things pop to mind. First of all, you have to be saved from something, to something, for something. When you come to Jesus Christ, we come to be saved from our sin. See, the story of humanity is this. God created us perfectly. The first human beings lived in a perfect world. But then everything went awry when they chose to disobey God. That's sin. Sin is any time we say, God, no thanks, I'm going to do my own thing. Sin isn't necessarily something that will get you into prison. Sin is any time we lean away from God and say, no thanks, I want to do it my way. And God says, that'll always get you in trouble. I can't have that in my heaven. And that sin that every one of us as human beings is born with, we have this innate desire to say, I want to do things my way. I want to be in charge. I want to be God. We all have that. We need to be saved from it. Jesus came to do that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. We're saved from our sin But we're saved to life with God, to enjoy life the way we were created to be. We were made for this. We were made for more than just trying to do things our own way. And then we're saved for the good works that God has stored up for us. God calls his people to do good things to the world all around us. Why? Because the good things we do are a reflection of our good God, who has done everything to give us a Savior. God wants all people to be saved. God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God wants everyone to know Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, because we all need a Savior, every one of us. Not just bad people, not just mediocre people, not just good people, everyone. We all need a Savior. God's heart is to love and to offer salvation to all who will come to him. But you see, we all like to think, you know, I'm not that bad. I really don't need a Savior. I can be good. I can come to church a few times. I can give some money to poor. I can do all these sort of things, and that'll be good enough. But the problem is, when we do that, we're making ourselves the standard. And God says, no. I am the standard. Because the passage goes on, it says, for there is one God. That's it. None of us can say, yeah, I'm a God too. I know God thinks this, but I want to make up my own set of rules. There is one God. He sets the rules. He is the standard. But then it says this, and there is one mediator between God and man. One mediator. This says some pretty profound things. First of all, God has provided a mediator, someone who will be there to help make right that which was messed up between God and man. But it says there's only one mediator. There are no other ways. There's no other options. There is one mediator between God and man. No other option. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, chapter 43. It says, before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there's no Savior. So God is saying to us, world, I love you so much that I will give you a Savior. But there's only one Savior. There's no other option, no other plan. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. Because it gives us the answer later on in the verse. It says, the man, Christ Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And that's the message of Christmas. God left perfect heaven, came into our world in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. The king of the universe came as a vulnerable baby, born in a manger in a city that most people had never heard of, even back in the day. Nowheresville. He had no fanfare, born quietly in a backwater. The man, Christ Jesus, reminds us of how far God came down to show how much he loved us. God came into our world as a human. We remember that at Christmas. King of the universe in a manger. Let that sink in. You see, he had to be a human so that he could ultimately offer himself as a sacrifice for us humans. God became a human. But there's also something really cool about the fact that God became human. He knows what it's like to walk a mile in our shoes. We don't serve and worship a God who is so far above us that he has no idea of what our trials and tribulations are like. Think of all that you're going through. The God of the universe because he's come as a man, can put his arm around your shoulder and say, I know what it feels like. I've experienced that. And the Bible says that because we have a Savior who's flesh and blood, who's a human being like us, we can come to him. And he's never going to just look down on us and say, oh, you're terrible little people. He'll say, I've walked a mile in your shoes. I know what it's like to be a man. The man, Christ Jesus. We also see the work of God, because Jesus wasn't just born into this world and lived a normal life. He had a very specific mission. And the mission that he had ended up taking him to the cross, because it says that the man, Christ Jesus, gave himself for us as a ransom for all of us. As a ransom for all of us. What is that about? See, here's the thing. Because all of us, human beings, fall short of God's perfection, because we sin, because we worship things other than the God of the universe, because we want to be in control of things and say, I want to be God, the Bible says that's sin. That sin separates us from God. There's nothing we can do to overcome our sin. We can go to church a bunch of times. We can give money to the poor. We can do all kinds of nice things. But that will never overcome the sin. We need a Savior. We owe a penalty that we can't pay by ourselves. And Jesus came to pay that penalty. See, on the cross, the man, Christ Jesus, offered himself as a substitute for us. He took the penalty that we deserved. And because he took the penalty that we deserved, all of us who come to him and say, Lord Jesus, would you save me? It only makes sense that we then say, Lord, you've saved me. I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want. I'll follow you wherever you lead, because you've saved me. See, and this all comes back to the man, Christ Jesus, who was born 2,000 plus years ago. It's the message of Christmas. And it's a message that we need to proclaim everywhere we go, because everyone in the world needs a Savior. The passage closes like this. It's a little clunky in the English language. It says, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And really what it's saying is, the things that we just said in this verse, they're fact. And it's an appropriate message anytime, anywhere. The world all around us needs to get to know the man Christ Jesus, who offered his life as a ransom for us all. 2,000 plus years ago, the first Christmas. But this baby grew up and he lived for us. And he died for us, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. He offers us life. He's ascended to heaven, and he reigns forevermore. And all who come to him for salvation are promised that we too will reign with him for the rest of forever. That is an incredible, hope-filled message, and it all goes back to Christmas. When God entered the world as a human, as a baby, but there's so much more to the story than just the baby in a manger. Jesus has died, he's risen, he's ascended on high, and he offers salvation to all of us. This message, the message of Christmas, is appropriate anytime, anywhere. And God wants us to speak it all the time, everywhere. In a few moments, we're going to take communion together. And communion is something that Jesus told his followers to take regularly, to remember that that baby who was born in a manger would give his life as a ransom for us all. You see, the elements of communion point us to Jesus, the ransom. Bread is a picture of his body that was broken on the cross for us. The Bible says that in his body, he took the penalty of our sin. The juice is a picture of his blood. His blood was shed for us. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But because God was willing to step into our world as a human being and shed his blood for us, he offers forgiveness freely. Because the heart of God is that everyone would come to him to get saved, to get right with God, to get back on track with God, and to enjoy life with him here and now and for the rest of forever. And that is the message that we celebrate at Christmas. In just a few minutes, as I said, we're going to take communion, but first we're going to sing, "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus." And there's two angles we should take as we think of this song. Think of the people before Jesus was born, longing for a Savior to be provided, crying out to God, "We need a Savior." And now in hindsight, we can look back and see that God has provided the Savior. But we also look ahead because our Savior is coming back to bring us home, and we will be with him forever and ever. And all of that flows out of the message of Christmas. Let's remember Jesus, our Savior, as we sing right now.